Look here in Galatians chapter 4, down here at verse 8. I'm going to start reading verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 through 10, and then we'll probably go down to verse 18 this morning. You follow along as I read in Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggary ailments, whereby ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, and times, and years. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to preach. And Lord, I surely need your help. I need your help with preaching and teaching, rightly dividing your word. And I pray that this message, Lord, would accomplish your will. Lord, you know the need of every single person that will hear this message today. Lord, there may be a need of salvation or a need of someone getting right or backslidden or the encouragement or going through a trial. Lord, I pray that you would use your word as only you can. You promised that it would not come back void. And Lord, I pray that you would do a great work today. Keep our heads around us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we're continuing our study in the book of Galatians that's here, if you remember, Paul, high-level summary in the last chapter, first three chapters and first seven verses of chapter 4, was pretty much telling them there's one gospel, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he's telling them there's only, because of that, there's only one way to heaven, that's through him, and no one has a right to change it. No one has a right to change the gospel. We don't have a right, angel doesn't have a right, the church doesn't have a right. It's the gospel message is from God. Amen. And then he goes through and explains salvation is by faith, not of works. And he goes through and explains that. He went through and explained how it wasn't of the law. So now when we pick up at verse 8, you have to remember that is still in the contents of what he's saying, right? Salvation is by grace, not of works. He explained to them that the law could not save them. It was a pointed them to Christ to show them that they need a Redeemer. And now what he says here at verse 8, he says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, how did ye service unto them which by nature are no God? Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminded them of their past. Reminded them of their past. These people, just like every single one of us, when you're born into this world, you are not saved. Amen? Now, there is an age of accountability, right? I don't know what that age of accountability is, like a little kid that's born. I don't know what that age is. And if something happens to a little kid, they haven't hit the age of accountability. The reality is, if something happens to them, they would go to heaven, right? And we know that from the Bible. They go directly to heaven. David had his baby die, and he knew that, and he said that, right? So we have the authority of God's word that's there. But when you hit the age of accountability, the reality is you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. And he reminded these people of their past. And these people of the past, they were serving false gods. He was kind of talking to the Gentile believers that are here. And he says, you remember in the past, you served false gods. These false gods, whatever these false gods that they were, that they had. And he said, before you accept them, and you would do their service, right? Whatever those false gods wanted, they were kind of like following. Ariana and I were talking, and there's religions that are out there, how they destroy and do things to their own kids. I forget which one it was that you were telling me. They threw their kids in a volcano. And I can't remember what it was, but to please their false gods, they would take their kids and cast them into the volcano so that way their false gods would not kill them. You read in the Old Testament, you can see that there were things they would do that. They would sacrifice. You think about the false god of the Muslims, that they serve Allah. He's a false god. If their children, like their daughter, doesn't marry the person that they want to marry, they will kill their child. Not all, right? But there are those that do. And they say it's an honor killing. You do know that happens in America, right? There are people that have killed their daughter or tried to kill their daughter in America because these Muslims that do it. I'm not saying all Muslims that are that way. But what is it? It's these false gods, right? And you can go through. There's all kinds that are there. So anyway, what he was trying to do is give an illustration. He was reminding them of their past, how they served these false gods. And what happened? Now they got saved. They were born again. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what he's saying here, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, right? What he's saying is they're born again. When you see this in Scripture as in contents here, what he's referring to is someone who is born again, someone that's saved. You may say, preacher, how do you know? Well, look back here to the book of John. In John chapter 10, he wasn't saying that God did not know them per se, like God doesn't know everything that's going on. God doesn't know you. God does know. But what they're talking about is a personal relationship, right? So before I got saved, I could pray all that I want, but the reality is my prayers did not go through. God wasn't my heavenly Father. I never accepted Jesus as my Savior. So I could pray all I want. And what it's saying is I had no relationship, but there was still sin that was held to me because I wasn't forgiven by Jesus Christ, accepting Him as my Savior. I wasn't known of God, right? So in John chapter 10, if you look at verse 25, we see this. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. They asked him if you're the Christ, and he tells them, I not only told you, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at the things I'm doing. They bear witness, right? And then look what it says in verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. These were Pharisees. They were Jewish people. But they were lost. They were very religious. Do you know, most people in this world today are very religious. But you know, most people in this world is very religious and lost. Religion does not get you to heaven. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he says here, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And look at this. And I know them. And they follow me, right? There's a relationship. They got saved. Amen? That's what Paul was talking about in the book of Galatians. He's saying that you know God. Rather, God knows you. What is he saying? That you are a child of God. Look over here to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, I think it's chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, are known of God. He was talking about in the past they served false gods, and now that they were believers, right? They were known of God. What does that mean? They had a relationship. They accepted Jesus Christ. But if you look here in Matthew chapter 7, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? Someone hit the key, right? There you go. Yeah. Amen. They always find the buttons. Amen. But anyway, Lord, Lord. Do you see that it's capitalized? That it recognizes who Jesus is? That He is God in the flesh? That He is the Master? Right? He's talking about people that are Christian in name only. Right? Look at this. Not everyone to say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You have to accept Christ. Look what it says. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They were trusting in their works. It'd be similar to me if I didn't get saved. I'd be before God and say, but I was a Baptist preacher. I preached. But just because I'm a Baptist preacher doesn't mean that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I had to accept the Lord as my Savior. Look what these other people said. And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. They did things, right? So you think about this, he's not referring to those that are in a Muslim church. He's not talking about those that are in whatever Hindu church or temple, whatever it is. He's talking about those that are in quote unquote Christian church, Christian name, right? But do you see what they're trusting in? Their works, what they did. Not one of them, Bob said, but we believed on you. Not one of them. You know why? They're not trusting in faith. They're trusting in works. And look what the Lord says here. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Now God is all knowing. God knows everything, right? He's not talking about, whoa, I didn't know about you. You know, I was at a revival meeting on Friday, and there's a lady who did the special music, and afterwards I walked up to her and told her, I said, I really appreciate your singing, you did good. And she's like, do you remember me? I'm thinking, no, I said, I'm sorry, I don't. She said, yeah, and she started telling me, you know, all these things, and I'm sitting there thinking, did I like lose my mind or something, forgot something? And then she said, yeah, I'm the sister of so-and-so. And I said, well, I know them, right? I know them. And I said, how are they doing? And start to talk to her, and she was still surprised. She's like, you don't know me. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I really don't. And she said, well, we went to your church in Potsdam. And I said, oh, I said, I'm not in, I pity poor Brother James if she thinks I look like Brother James or the vice versa, you know, that's there. I feel bad for him. Amen. And I said, oh, I said, I'm not the pastor from Brother James that's there. She's like, oh, she said, then you don't know me. I said, no, I don't know you. I said, but nice to meet you, you know. The reality is this, you may say that you know someone, it doesn't mean, right? Here they said they knew God, and he said, I never knew you. You know what that means? They never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the reality is this, they were going to be cast in the lake of fire. Being religion will not get you to heaven. Knowing about Jesus Christ will not get you to heaven. Knowing that he died on the cross and was buried and rose again will not get you to heaven. You have to receive him as your personal Savior. They did not. You see that? I never knew you. I underlined that word never because you'll have people try to use these verses and say, see, they lost their salvation. And I say, see, it says never. That means they were never saved, right? You get saved, God knows you, you never lose it, right? They never knew, he never knew them. Amen. That means they were never born again. Anyway, look back here to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians chapter 4. So when Paul was talking about this, so he said with their past, they were serving false gods, as you turn back to Galatians chapter 4. And now in verse 9, where he says, now they are born again. Look what he says here at the end of verse 9. He says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggary elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Now, here it is. He's talking about them, that they were born again. And what is it? He's giving a comparison, right? Now, Paul did not say that the Old Testament law, right? He's not saying the Old Testament law is horrible. He didn't say that. He wasn't saying that the customs, the feast and things of that nature were wrong, right? He's not saying that. God gave those things in the Old Testament. But what he's alluding to is those things in the Old Testament could never save you. Those sacrifices did not save them. Doing those feasts did not save them. What he talks about days, months, times and years, keeping the Sabbath did not save them. the different feasts, the different festivals, different things. He's like, none of those things saved you. And what was happening is there were people that came into this church and told them that, hey, you got to keep these things to keep your salvation. And what Paul was saying is, if you're thinking you can keep your salvation by observing these things, he said these things are weak and beggarly. Right? What he's saying is they don't help you. They didn't get you saved. They can't keep you saved. He compared them just like serving those false gods. Those false gods can't save you. Just like keeping the Jewish traditions. They're not going to save you. They're not going to keep you. And that's what Paul is talking about here. What was he saying? These things can't save you. Then why turn back to them? Now, he's not against tradition, right? There's nothing wrong with tradition. But the reality is, if you're thinking of those traditions are what's going to save you, you're wrong. Tradition can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And what Paul was saying is, why are you turning back to things and trying to say that you got to keep these things? And why are you listening to people that's telling you this? He said, that's not true. It's by faith. It's by grace. It can't be of works. If it was of works, then that means, why did Jesus die? That would be the dumbest thing in the world, right? For God to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, who can't save you completely, right? That would be dumb. Why do that, right? He came because you could not save yourself. He came to forgive you of all your sins. Amen? And that's what Paul was trying to help these people. Look now to verse 11 and 12. Galatians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And while you're turning there, let me ask this simple question. You don't have to raise your hand. But what are you trusting in to get to heaven? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your good works? Are you trying to be a good person? Well, you fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it. The reality is you're already guilty, right? Can't undo what you have already done. If your faith is not in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you're not going. And that's not being mean. That's being truthful, right? And we see here, Paul actually even talks about this. Look at verse 11 and 12. He says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Anything you do for God is not in vain, right? He's not saying that, right? But what he's saying is, what I did for you to try to help you, the reality is now that you're not trusting, you're not believing what God said in His Word. He says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as you are, ye are, ye have not injured me at all. He was concerned with these believers. Why? Because there were people that came into the church and tricked them, tried to fool them. They tried to say, hey, I know you're a Gentile, but you got to get back under, do these Jewish customs and things to keep your salvation. And he says, I am concerned for you. I'm afraid of you. Why would you think that? Why would you be so quick to allow these people to fool you and to believe something that's not true? Do you know when you read these verses, there's a truth that's there that you may not have picked up on. Do you know what that truth is? That, Mark, even as believers, we could be led astray. Not everyone that's born again is doing what they should, as we know. And there's some people that are born again that have been led astray, right? Now, there are some things as a believer, yes, you always believe in your heart, right? But they were thinking that I could lose my salvation. I got to do these things, right? They were tricked. And can I tell you, there are some people out there that have been maybe indoctrinated. Someone has tried to trick them and they got to the place where they're thinking, well, I can lose my salvation. That doesn't mean that they're lost. They were just deceived. They were following an individual or individuals instead of following God. Amen? The Holy Spirit would work on them at the beginning and say, you know, that doesn't sound right. They were like, but yeah, but he used this verse or he said this, and why would a preacher lie to me, right? Hopefully a good preacher won't lie to you, amen? But anyway, what he was saying is he was concerned for them. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17. See, it's important to make sure our beliefs is based on the Bible. Our beliefs should be based on the Bible. Amen? If you're, what you believe should be based on the Word of God. Amen? Look here in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Look here at verse 10. And the brother immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And look at this. And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They heard the preaching. They took it in. And then what did? They went home and said, all right, let's go through this Bible and make sure what I heard today is the very words of God. That's what you should do. When you hear the preaching, go home, make sure what I'm preaching is the very words of God. And if not, you have every right to come to me and say, hey, preacher, where did you get that from? Can you help me? When you were in Sunday school, I try to encourage people to come to Sunday school. It's a little bit more back and forth to talk. I was asking the question, the Bible says Jonah, in the book of Jonah, got swallowed by what? A great fish. And I asked the question, how do you know it was a whale? Well, that was the question I asked. And there was responses that were given. How do we know that that fish was a whale? Anyone now?
Matthew
chapter 12, right? Verse 40 and verse 41. Jesus said would be in the body of a, was in the belly of a whale, right? We know that. All I was trying to do wasn't trying to confuse people, but all I was trying to do is what we believe should be based on the Bible, right? That's what we should believe. Let me give an example. Don't raise your hand on this, right? Well, I'll get you to raise your hand maybe on this one. How many have heard that Jesus died on Friday? How many have heard that, right? If you heard that, will you raise your hand?
I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard it? Did you ever hear that Jesus? Most people heard that, right? Jesus did not die on Friday. Jesus did not die on Friday. Now, when you hear that, somebody will be like, right? Well, you say, well, how do you know? It's not a coincidence how God has everything worked out, right? He said about Jonah would be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the well. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, right? So we know Jesus rose early Sunday morning, right? Guaranteed, right? So let's do this just for a second. Let's say he died Friday night. So that means it would be Saturday morning. Saturday night is one. Sunday morning, Sunday night would be two. Monday morning, Monday night would be three, right? If Jesus died on Friday night, then that means he rose early Tuesday. Now, when you ask someone that maybe they believe that, and you tell them, their first thought is, but I was told this. Well, you were told. But what does the Bible say, right? It doesn't make sense. There is no way you can get three going from Friday to Sunday morning. No way you can get three. Unless your math is really bad. Amen? There's no way. You go from Wednesday night, you can get to three by Sunday morning, right? It works, right? So anyway, what I'm saying is, you don't base it on what you've seen. You base it on what God says in His Word, right? So anyway, what was He trying to do? He was telling them, hey, why are you going back to these things that can't save you? These things that can't keep you? The reality is this. Why would you do that? Now look back here to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And if you're wondering, Wednesday evening, if you died Wednesday evening, which you did, so it'd be, you know, you think about Thursday, the whole day, Friday, and Saturday. It had to be sometime really early on Sunday morning, which is what the Bible says. Really early in the morning, they came and he was there. Amen. And matter of fact, it says when the end of the Sabbath, that even tells you it had to be Sunday. Amen. Then you have people say, well, it must have been Saturday night. No, it said early in the morning, right? So early morning, Sunday. Anyway, where are we at? Galatians chapter 4. What Paul said at the end, it says, be as I am. What is he saying? I'm free, right? I'm not under this bondage anymore. I don't have to keep things because those things could not keep me. And look what he says now at verse 13 to 15. Verse 13 to 15. Now he's reminding them that day they got saved. He says, you know how through infirmity, that word infirmity means like a disease or a sickness. Infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In my temptation, this word temptation here could be a trial or a testing, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. I'll come back to that. They didn't say that he's actually God, right? Or an actual angel. It says, where is then the blessing ye spake of? For I bear you record that if been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now I'm going to give you my personal opinion what Paul is referring to. When Paul was on his way to Damascus, he saw a light that was brighter than the sun. And that light, you think about the wattage of that, it would be incredible. You want to think about the powerful of the sun? Don't do it. But if you looked at the sun, stared at the sun, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to go blind. It's going to hurt your eyes, right? So the reality, even when it's an eclipse, right? They tell you to put the special glasses on or whatever to do that. A brightness of the sun. You think about when he saw, when the Lord did that, it hurt his eyes. And I believe what he speaks of here is when he came to them, they saw him, and I don't know, maybe Paul had problems with his eyes, and maybe, you know, I'm not going to gross you out or whatever, but you know what I mean? If someone has problems with their eyes, you could tell, right? I had my friend's uncle growing up, he lost his eye, and he would have they had a fake eye that was there, and he kind of grossed us out sometimes. He's like, hey, you want to see an eye? Oh, you know, what are you doing, you know? But he would always have to put ointment or something in his eye, right? And I can imagine Paul had problems with his eyes. Sometimes when he would write something, he would like, you see how big of a letter I wrote unto you, right? Why? Because he probably had problems with his eyes, hard time seeing. He would write bigger, right? Someone has a hard time seeing, he may write bigger. And what he was saying is, when I went there to preach to you and preach the gospel, you received me, right? The message that I gave to you was like that, as, right? As and like or similarly. It's not saying they are as, right? What he's saying, this message, we understood the message that you were given was like it was an angel of God, or it was like, you know, our Lord giving this message. We realized it was the very words of God. God's word that you gave to us, and he shared the gospel. So you think about when I preach God's word. God's word means here. I expound on it, right? So don't misunderstand. Not every word I say is the words of God, right? Like right now, you know, what I'm saying is not the words of God. This is the word of God. I will say what God says here and expound on it. Now the Holy Spirit will use that and work on your heart, right? So when he said those things, and maybe there was message that the Holy Spirit was working on his heart, they realized that what he was saying was from God. God was showing them the truth, and these people got saved, and they were so excited when they got saved. They turned from their false gods. They have salvation. Now they're on the way to heaven. They looked at Paul, and they realized the struggle it must have been for Paul to travel there. Paul had a hard time seeing. Luke went with him. He was a physician. He was probably helping him with his eyes. And as Paul would be there, they realized that. And maybe as Paul went up to see someone introduced, you know, he had a hard time maybe seeing. And they recognized that. And they were thinking in themselves, you know, if I can get rid of my eyes and give them to you that you can see. That's what he was saying. These people had so much concern for Paul, and they were thinking, I wish I could give you my own eyes that you can see that you wouldn't be in the torment anymore. But why? Because you shared with me the greatest story ever. Jesus loved me. He died for me, was buried, and rose again. And praise the Lord. Amen? And so here it is. He's reminding them of the past, right? Of when they got saved. He said, don't you remember when I came to you, how excited you were? I mean, you were willing to say that, right? I have a bad back, right? And maybe you'll be like, hey, I'll be willing to change. Eugene's on the call. I don't want his back. Amen. His back is probably surely worse than my back. But I don't want your back. Amen. Because that means you chop off my head and I'm in heaven. Amen. But anyway, you may be like, wow, I wish I could help you in some way. Well, just pray for me. Amen. I don't want your back. But that's what he was referring to. They cared so much because he shared this message. And then he says this at verse 16 and 18. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You remember the back when you got saved, I shared that gospel message to you and you were all excited and you were to the place of saying, you know, Paul, if I could give you my own eyes, I could be blind and you could see and you could do so much more for God. Can I tell you, sometimes we think that, but that's foolishness, because the reality is when Paul had this infirmity, he prayed to the Lord 3 times and God said, my grace is sufficient unto thee. You may think you have something that will hinder you. No, God can use it for good. That's how good God is. Amen. My strength is made perfect or stronger, right, in these things. Paul relied on God, right? And we see that. So anyway, he reminds them of these things. And now he's like, hey, now I'm coming back to tell you that you're now being tricked into believing that you got to keep your salvation. He says, now am I your enemy? Because I'm telling you the truth. Don't you remember when I first came that you got saved, your life was changed, and how you were just so thankful? Now are you mad at me? Because I'm saying, hey, what are you doing these things for? These things aren't going to save you. These things aren't going to keep you. Folks, you see what Paul's doing? Paul is trying to help these people to realize, hey, remember back. You know, false teachers and others that are led astray, they don't want you to truly search the Bible. They don't want you to get into this book. Do you know that Catholic Church, this is truthful, you know the Catholic Church, when they called it a dark age, they were so mad, they did not want people, the common people, they would say, to have a Bible in their own language. And during that time of the dark ages, there were people having a desire to get people to have the Word of God in their own language. That there were people that became martyrs of the faith. And they literally would kill them. Why? Because their desire was to get the Scripture into a language that they could read. Go out and search. Amen. You'll find that. Amen. Matter of fact, they were so bad, there was one guy who died, I think it was Tinsdale. I could be wrong with that. It may have been someone else. I can't remember who the guy is. Do you remember in school today? He ended up dying. The Catholic Church was so mad because of the influence that he had of getting people the language, the Bible in their own language, that so many years after, 20, 30 some years later, they dug up his bones and they burned them. They were so mad at what he did. Was that Tinsdale? Or do you remember?
Every Christian.
Wow, it was a lot of Christians, yes. So anyway, but I forget who it was. It was influence. I don't know if it was Tinsdale or some other person. Google it. Research it, right? Matter of fact, there was a guy who wrote a book, Fox Book of Martyrs. Not all people were good people. But he talked about people who were martyred at the stake. They literally burned them at the stake. Why? Well, because they would say, baptism does not save you. And there were those that said, we're standing for what God says in His Word. Why can't people have the Bible in their own in loan language, and what they killed them, right? And you think about it, we look at it today and it's like, wow, thank God you have a Bible. You have to realize there were a lot of people that suffered and died that you can have the very words of God. So anyway, what he's talking about here, that was all free for you. What he's talking about here is he's saying, hey, I'm telling you the truth. Why do you think I'm your enemy now that I'm telling you the truth? He says, these people want you to be zealous in the matter. And that's what he says in verse 17 and 18. They zealously afflict you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might afflict them. But it is good to be zealously afflicted always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. These people were trying to get them to be zealous on this standpoint and say, go out and tell others. They got to keep the law. He says, but they're hurting you. And then he told him, he says, there's nothing wrong with being zealous, right? Of being zealous for God. But make sure it's a good thing, right? Make sure it's based on the Scripture, not based on something that's not true. Folks, what Paul was trying to do was to help them, to tell them the truth. Is that your desire today? Is really your desire that you want to know the truth of God's Word? If you believe something that's not true, would you want someone to tell you that's not true? All right?
Yeah.
Do you know, I think it was in our country, at one time, they thought that when someone had sickness and stuff, that if they take their blood out of them, that it would help them. Right? Julie, you got some sickness? All right, Mark, get the needle, right? And we'll, you know, they would take, what's that?
Leeches.
Yeah, they could have leeches, but they would try to drain blood from you because they were thinking that, right? Aren't you glad good doctors don't do that anymore, huh? What was it? Yeah, there's still, I'm sure there's beds that may do stuff. Was it one of our presidents almost died?
George Washington did die from that.
Yeah, George, so... I mean, think about that. Aren't you glad that there would have been someone later on that came up that may have been taught that? Grandma taught them that. Great-grandma taught them, or whatever it was, taught them that. And I'm going to the doctor and I'm sick and be like, hey, doc, can you take out some blood? I'm sick and I need this blood out. And John looks at me, Dr. John. That sounds a good name there, Dr. John. Dr. John. Yeah. Dr. John looks at me and says, We don't do that anymore. Well, what are you talking about? My grandma and my grandpa, they used to tell me that, and I believe that. And Dr. John looks at me and says, but we have learned that's not good. And that's not going to help you and give you medicine to help you, right? Now, I guarantee you, when it first came out, there were people that was like, bless God, I'll find a doctor, get rid of my blood, right? Aren't you glad that there's doctors today will tell you, don't do that? You know, if they would have just looked at the Bible, the life is in the blood, they would have realized that, right? Aren't you glad that they figured out? Let me ask you, if you want to go to heaven, are you glad that I'm going to tell you the truth? Or would you rather hold on to something that grandma, great-grandma, great-great-great-grandpa, whatever held on to, that's not going to help you? Paul was trying to help him and saying, hey, don't forget what I gave you is the very words of God. And don't be mad at me. Don't think I'm your enemy because I'm telling you something that's contrary to what you're learning. He said, hey, look and see what the Bible says. Don't forget, you said, yeah, this guy... He was preaching the Word of God. I got saved. I see the evidence. And that's what he's saying that's here. Folks, can I tell you, we live in an area, we live in a country, people believe all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And the reality is this, what is right is what's in this book. I'll give you another example. When I was growing up, I remember that we went to a church. It wasn't a good church. But we went to a church that taught that you could lose your salvation. They taught that. It wasn't an open-door church, but it was another church we went to. They taught that you could lose your salvation. And literally, I believed that. And the reality is this. I believe that if someone lived, you know, someone did something, that they lost their salvation, they were going to hell. I believe that. Right? That they could lose their salvation. Before I got saved, my dad was going to a Baptist church. My dad invited me down to the Baptist church. Actually, someone called me and said, wanted to go to church. There was a girl who called me and said, "Hey, I heard you're religious and you go to church. I want to know about God." I wasn't going to church. I was very religious. And I called my dad up. My dad said, "Come down to this Baptist church." And she got convicted. She left, and I don't know if she ever got saved or not. But anyway, I stayed there, and I remember Pastor Buzik would preach a message and preach that how salvation is eternal. You can't lose it. And I was taught that, and I believed that. Probably, I don't know, 15, 20 years, I believed that. And when I heard, I was just sitting in the back, when I heard him to preach that, I was thinking, this guy can't be right. He can't be right. Because you have to be able to, because of what I was taught. Thank God I continued to stay and I continued to listen to what he would preach. And I remember listening and what he said about eternal life, and he would say something like this. Can't remember the exact words. He says, think about what the word is. Define it. Now, that's not his opinion. That's not my opinion. Define it. What is the definition? Eternal. Without end. Right? And then he said, God said he will give you eternal life. That means without end. Then how could you lose it? And now I had to come to conclusion. Either what I was taught many, many years is right and God's wrong. Or God's right and I'm wrong.
Well, you're wrong.
And I realized I was wrong. But I could tell you it was a hard thing to do, Doris. Because now I had to admit for 15 years what I learned was wrong. Yeah. That is a very hard thing to do. But I came to a conclusion. I don't want to follow a lie anymore. And I'm willing to admit that the last 15 years of what I believed was wrong. Because God said it. And I want to follow what God said. And the reality is, I realized what he was preaching. He wasn't my enemy. He was there to try to help me. And I'm thankful that it wasn't too long after that that I heard a message who Jesus Christ is from the Bible. That he was God who loved you and me so much that he died, who came down from heaven and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. And I'm glad that in time, as the Holy Spirit convicted me, that I listened to an evangelist, Hal Webb, how to be saved. He preached on good and bad church members. And I'm thankful that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I had to make a choice one time in my life. Am I going to continue to follow the things I believe for 15 years that others taught me? Or was I just going to believe what God said? And can I tell you, I'm so thankful I believe what God said. Paul said, "Hey, am I your enemy now? Because I'm sharing the truth?" Folks, can I tell you? Always realize this is the truth. It doesn't matter what others say. What does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I'll believe what God said. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. And Lord, I pray that it would draw us closer to you, draw us to you if we need that. Or Lord, help us, whatever that need would be. Lord, I give you this invitation time. Pray thy will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name.